Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that will never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. What? It's over the bar.
Hello everyone and welcome along to the RTE GAA podcast. We're going to chat Hurling League final a little bit later on with Neil McManus, but Ciarán Whelan is with us to look ahead to weekend one of the Football Championship, which, gotta say, Ciarán, feels a little bit low-key, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's riveting, Jackie. Can't wait. After the highs of last weekend, and in fairness, we're really looking forward to a good league final, and I suppose, thank God the Division 1-1 didn't disappoint. It was a brilliant game. And I think it gave everybody a bit of a lift, if I'm being honest with you, in terms of football terms, that, you know, our game can be played like that, with two teams really going aggressively at it. It does come with health warnings. It's still only the league. Will teams be more conservative come the championship? But it's a far cry from, you know, and a lot of it is to do with everything packed into the one season, but it's a far cry from, you know, where we were kind of years ago on that launch of the championship. And, you know, when the Easter came and the clocks changed, it was a signal that teams went back out into the hard ground and the summer ground, and they got going. And then come the middle of May, they were primed, ready to go. And we had the big kind of, I suppose, lead into the championship where it was a lot more competitive. And I just think this, it's gone. We all know the provincials have gone really, really stale. And, you know, you're looking ahead to this weekend, and the reality, let's call a spade, you know, you've got a lot of Division 1 teams maybe coming up against lower division teams and stuff like that. And it's not going to lead to a whole lot of excitement. And then we've a Leinster Championship that, you know, what's the main talking point around a Leinster Championship? It's probably whether Westmeath or Kildare are going to make the Sam Maguire, because, you know, Dublin have just dominated it. And who wants to play Dublin in Croke Park and get... what's their average? Their average winning margin in Leinster finals is something like 15 points,
yeah,
or something.
15, yeah.
Yeah. Right. So what does that tell us? So it's not exactly like, it's very, very low key. And it's a long way from, you know, the noughties when, say, Kildare winning Leinster championships from Laois in 2003, or winning Leinster championships from Westmeath, you know, when Croke Park was rocking and buzzing. That's gone. And listen, largely it's due to the dominance of the Dubs, but it's also the new structure we have, that the provincial championships are just stuck now in the middle with priorities.
They're like a sore thumb.
Yeah, like a sore thumb. Priorities built around them. So listen, I think we said at the outset, when we change the format, we learn as we go along, and we do know how the prestigious Ulster Championship is still held in high regard in terms of how parochial and how important it is up there. But maybe we just have to find another slot in the calendar for this window, if you want to say that.
Mm. And to be fair, even when you're looking at the weekend's games, I mean, there's 9 championship games. The only one really that anyone would, I think, maybe feel like they would want to get excited about is Monaghan-Cavan. Because you look at Munster, you've got Cork, Limerick, Waterford, Tipperary. In Leinster, Longford, Meath, Westmeath, Wicklow, Carlow, Wexford, and in Connacht, New York, Mayo, London, Galway, Leitrim, Sligo. And I think, Rory, I know you have your own views about the Ulster Championship, but to me, the most competitive game there is in Monaghan-Cavan. A lot of the rest of them just feels a bit, I think Ciarán is right, maybe just the opening weekend doesn't have the flair that we've had in previous years. And I know maybe the romanticism of it is that we all long for what we had in the 90s, but you're looking at these fixtures and you're thinking, right, how are we selling this great game when you're coming off one of the best weekends of all time last weekend? Yeah. It's a hard sell with some of these.
Yeah, and it's I remember when I first started working on the Sunday game, for instance. And by the way, you're back into the mix there this Sunday night coming for year two, and just want to wish you the best of luck.
Oh, thanks a million.
Somebody who was that soldier for long enough in terms of doing that program, I know how difficult the show it is and how big it is, and, you know, so, and how much energy it can consume. So the very best of luck on Sunday night as the Sunday game makes its welcome return. But I was always curious that, like, the championship, when I first started, used to start with a whimper, and sort of, it was a slow build. And it did build, and it built up to this massive crescendo. Now you've got the slow build, and then the other slow build, and then there's it's like, it's a small bit of a sort of a race at the very end to get everything rushed off and play it as quickly as possible and get it all out of the way. And then that's it. And I just, look, I remember very distinctly my last year doing the live program, Jackie. I was the one that drove it, so I can take full responsibility. Dalo and Liam Sheedy and Donal O'Cusack were the pundits that day. And when this new structure came in, I said, look, this is madness. And I still believe it is. And I still believe it's largely due to the calendar. Now, having said that, last year, for instance, we had Mayo and Roscommon on the very first weekend, which gave people something to stick their teeth into. I think you could have been a slightly bit more imaginative. This is the way the fixtures fall at the provincial championships in terms of the draw. So it does make things slightly difficult. And they've got to run it now in that way, and that it's just week on week. And maybe you will get little bits and little pockets of windows and little stories. I'm not entirely sure. I think they might be slightly formulaic again. What are you hoping for? You're hoping for a few stories, maybe out west, where it's a three horse race in south. Is anybody going to be Kerry and Munster? Probably not. We know Dublin are going to win Leinster. And then you're dependent upon an Ulster Championship, which, in my view, while unbelievably competitive, I would very much question the quality from time to time in that as well.
Go on, walk me through that one. Why do you think? Because I can tell you now, the Ulster fans are going to be jumping on this when they hear you saying this.
Yeah, well. Look, I suppose I think you've got a couple of very good teams in Ulster. You obviously, right? But you've a lot of average teams, and we don't judge. In my view, and again, I'm very, very happy for other people to beg to differ here. Do we judge the standard on league or championship? What are you judged on ultimately? In any form, in a GAA context. In my view, you're judged on championship. So if you take, and this is as good a sample size as you're going to get, the last 20 All-Ireland finals, right? So that's two decades. It's a pretty good sample size, 20 years of All-Ireland finals. In those 20 years of those All-Ireland finals, there's 40 places. Who would you say, which province would you say finishes bottom in terms of pecking order of those 40 places? Yeah,
well, you see, it's heavily skewed, but, though, because of Dublin, yeah, and Kerry.
But I think just on that, Rory, take on board the point, right? But I think, is there something deeper in there in that? Is this a blind spot within Ulster to a certain degree? Is there a blind spot there about the kind of parochialism around the Ulster Championships? If you take that last 20 years, you know, and Dublin have what, won 18 Leinster titles, I think, in that last 20 years, and Kerry have probably won something similar, and probably have, you know, cruised their way into Croke Park and timed their way through the year. And then the Connacht can be, depending on the draw, you might get a couple of tough games or whatever. And so is there something in that there's a potential flaw? And I think when you look back, and I thought Jimmy McGuinness, he came out, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and he spoke about player welfare and the demands on the players, and, you know, like players going in and playing 7 league games in 9 weeks, and then a final, you know, and then straight into an Ulster Championship, and now into a group system, and then quarterfinals and all that sort of stuff. And I just wonder, is that potentially the blind spot that, you know, look, Dublin took a break this week, Kerry are off training, you know, and, you know, while people will say, yeah, Derry could have got to a final last year, your stats back up the fact that Ulster teams are not getting to finals. So is it
that, let alone winning yeah, All-Ireland.
But is it that it's not the depth of quality up there, but that it's the system that is...
But you can't have it either way, though, Willow. You can't turn around and you can't say, we love our Ulster championship. But that's my point.
Yeah. At what point does somebody actually say, you know, where does that... Like, we've spoken about the imbalance, and we've spoken about some of the best provincial games we've got in the last 6-7 years, mostly have been in Ulster, right? So is that not where they have to see that blind spot themselves and say, hold on, is this really benefiting us when it comes to winning All-Irelands? Are we, you know what I mean? I think this new format, I think that will eventually, you know, let's say, for example, I'm just saying in hindsight, but let's say Donegal were to turn over there this year in the first round, right? And Derry went on and won the All-Ireland. What would be the narrative at the end of the year?
that
well,
it
it'll still
smack,
be that Derry won the All Ireland,
yeah.
you know,
yes,
because that's what
exactly.
they're judged on.
You know,
but I still think, though, both teams will feel either way, Willow, that they are in with a shout of being in the last four, maybe the last two in the All Ireland, whatever happens in Ulster.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I just think if they were to be beaten when Donegal won the All Ireland, people say, well, they were able to regroup, get ready for the group system, they were fresher. Well, like, these are all the little things that, you know, managements are looking at now in terms of, you know, even Kevin McStay said it last year, but we learned a lot from the schedule. We learned a lot from the demands on the players, and Mayo are probably coming in a little bit under the radar this year. You know, there's different, I would fully agree with Jimmy McGuinness that, you know, there is massive demands mentally on the players, even as well as physically, because they're out so often. And it's very, very difficult for them to get to, you know, that level of peak performance that's required to get over the line week in, week out is becoming more challenging. And the more times you're put, more big games you're put into, you know, you're under the risk of maybe, you know, hitting a brick wall on one of the days, you know. Like, look, Kieran McGeaney said he loves the games every week, but Armagh winning anything, you know? No, they're not. Do you know what I mean? And they have to win something this year, and they'll probably go for the Ulster Championship. So I just think, listen, it's an anomaly that's been there. Not, I wouldn't be talking, the pride that they're taking the Ulster Championship is usually important, but the question I would ask is it hurting them when it gets to that latter stages? And just, that's what backs up possibly your stats, Roy, that they're not getting to the final stages. You're saying it's lack of quality, but is it the structure?
Yeah, well, I think, and as I said, you can't on the one hand say, we love the competitive nature, it makes us battle hard and when we get to the latter stages. Oh no, it's very tough, it's way too hard, it doesn't give us the best platform to make the latter stages. So, like, that's a bit having your cake and eating it.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying
yeah.
that
yeah.
as a criticism. I'm not saying that as a criticism of any of the Ulster counties per se, and they're entitled to enjoy and love their championship and all the parochialism that it brings. Where I would question is, I don't necessarily believe, outside of the top two or three, that the rest of the teams are all that much better than what you will get further down the food chain. And I think if you look at it right across the board, last weekend, for instance, lots of people were, including me, by the way, my prediction predictor hat was completely skewed insofar as I thought Down would beat Westmeath, and that wasn't the case. So look, I sometimes think there's an oversell on what the Ulster Championship is in comparison to his actual standing in an overall capacity.
What I would say, right, and before we get bogged down into this completely and we don't even look at any of the games, I think it's where it sits, Rory, right? So the Championship is obviously the number one. I think the league has proven what a really important competition it is. And then the provincials are clearly in third place.
Yeah.
To me, that's what it seems like. And I think what we need to do is find a way that goes, let's re-rank them so that you go provincial, league, championship, base your championship off of your league positionings, and then everyone would be happy because you could still protect the Ulster Championship. It could still be brilliant, but let's just remarket it in a way that it's earlier in the season, and then we can build like this. And I think maybe people would be happier. But anyway, listen.
I would agree, Jackie. I think it's stuck in the middle of two competitions and it's diluting them nearly all, if you know what I mean, apart from the All Irelands. Maybe just that little tweak would certainly help, and you can still have your provincial championships.
Yeah. Okay, well, if we broaden it out then and you're looking at them, who is your favourite to win the Ulster Championship, Ciarán, because of those reasons? Is it that, let's just take an Armagh, for instance, if they went full tilt at an Ulster title and won it and then brought that into the seen as massive progress for Kieran McGeaney. I know, albeit it's still going to be wanting to win an All-Ireland, but I think they'd view that as massive progress. So what way are you, are Derry a lot ahead of the rest of the chasing pack, or where do you see Ulster right now if you were to pick a winner?
I wouldn't say. I think, like, Derry's performance last week was top draw, right? And we know they've been developing, they've been building, they've been coming. In some ways now, the expectation now has reached a very, very high level for them. And they're back, you know, against Donegal in a couple of weeks' time. But for me, I think there's a need in Armagh to win an Ulster Championship. They're on the right side of the draw.
Yeah.
You would fancy that if they play to their potential, they're going to be in an Ulster final. The other side of the draw, you've got the, you know, you have the Derry Donegal, then you've Tyrone waiting, you know, you're Monaghan Cavan as well, you know. So I would expect Armagh to be in the Munster final, and I think there is an absolute urgency and need for them to actually win something. They have to go for it. They have to have, they have to take risks in their game. They can't, if they play with the conservative mindset we've seen them play with at times, they'll be caught again. But I think ultimately this is crunch time for Armagh to win another championship. And I they would be my kind of outside tip. While Derry may have their eye on a bigger prize, have won the league, and maybe thinking a little bit down the track, while Mickey Hart will certainly want to win another championship, win the third in a row, I just think Armagh's need is a little bit more. And to gain something, to get a bit of silverware, I think they've got to deliver something.
I think that's an interesting narrative, Rory, that maybe Derry winning the league might have taken a bit of pressure off them winning the Ulster title, that Mickey can just say, right, silverware is in the bank. Let's look further down the line here, because they're genuine All-Ireland contenders here. I think everybody can see that.
And we saw it last year when Mayo were beaten by Roscommon in the first round of Connacht. They were able to sort of park up for maybe 6-7 weeks and then go down and really ambush Kerry and beat Kerry below in Killarney for the first time in 20 odd years. So I think that it has its pros and cons in terms of your pathway back to the All-Ireland series. I think where it probably messed up what happened Mayo really was the fact that they got caught by Cork. That was the bizarre thing afterwards from their perspective, because it threw them into that qualifier, or that prelim qualifier
against Galway.
But I think, like, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. I don't think it would be some sort of disaster should Derry get knocked out by Donegal in that first round. I think just they're at home, it's in Celtic Park. They'll have a couple of weeks to prepare for it. I heard you guys on Monday mentioning that they're away in Portugal and that they might be left on their tod for a couple of days, which is a bit risky. But anyway, look, Mickey, yeah, you know.
Who's that?
Derry.
Derry, yeah. That the management and team for the first five and team on their own for the last two is the word.
As Eamon Fitzmaurice said, Ciarán, it would not have happened in his day, because there's no chance they'd have been let loose.
Well, you had the O'Shea's there, like, so.
there's definitely a risk factor involved in that.
I think I do actually give Donegal a really good twist in that match. And I think Jim McGuinness will relish it. And I do think he puts a big onus on the Ulster Championship. And I could see Donegal winning Ulster this year. So I'm going to go for Donegal.
Ooh, interesting. Okay, let's go to the second most interesting province then, because, I mean, Leinster and Munster, you can do the exact, just like that, Ciarán. Yeah. I think Connacht is very interesting because of the form of Galway and how patchy it is. And yes, the league, they were missing, I mean, more than any other team, I think they were missing so many key players. So it's very hard to get a judge on them. But I do think a Connacht championship to them, Ciarán, would be so important. So give me the form lines of Mayo, Galway, what you're seeing there. And I think Kevin's comments in particular were very interesting about maybe what they've learned from last year and what they plan on bringing to the table this year.
I think I look at Connacht, you know, I think it's important for Mayo as well and Kevin to make a bit of a statement to get silverware in the cabinet as well. I firmly believe that. I think Mayo definitely will have their eyes on winning a provincial title this year, maybe taking a different route to last year. Galway, for me, Jackie, like, looking at them throughout the league, you know, yes, Pori got to blood a lot of new players. They got a lot of game time into inexperienced players, which would benefit them in the long run, no doubt about it. But while you couldn't fault their work ethic and their spirit in a lot of the games they played, you know, particularly defensively, and you could see they were definitely playing with a bit of energy, they just didn't have the quality up front, and they didn't have, with missing the key players that they have, to me, just drop them down a notch or two. Whether they can get them back and get them fit and get them sharp and get them on the field of play early enough for the Connacht Championship is questionable for me. I think Mayo are probably in a better position, where I think they have a full fit squad. They're going to get a Roscommon game before that Connacht final. Roscommon, on the other hand, I think struggled in the league and really kind of had a definitive game plan. plan A, where they kind of defended and played on the counter attack, but once they fell behind, they really struggled and exposed. And I think their reliance on Enda Smith has gone a little bit too far. They need other fellas to step up, and the wind seems to have gone out of their sails. So I would expect Mayo to not have much issues at the weekend and come back and beat Roscommon. And I would be tipping Mayo to edge the Connacht final this year.
Mm. Yeah. Rory, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I agree completely. I don't think... I think Wheelo already mentioned about Kevin having learned a lot last year. They won the league last year. They went out the following week, got beaten. It was a very roller coaster-ish type year for them. They were up, they were down, they were up, they were down. And I think he'll have learned a lot. I think he'll look to time his run much more differently. We all know how strategic Kevin is. He's a military background. Kevin will have figured an awful lot out on the fly last year. I think they'll time it very differently this time round. I'd expect them to win Connacht and plant themselves a seed one going into Sam Maguire. And to be honest, I expect a big year from Mayo this year. Yeah. And I'd go so far as to say this, Jackie. If Mayo ran into Derry, both teams fully locked and loaded, right? They'd be going into that game as underdogs, and I would back Mayo big time to win that.
Big shout. I think they're probably the team with the most room for growth
based on
the learning.
And they're one of the most athletic teams out there that will cause teams problems. They do have an issue racking up big scores, but
until they run into the Dubs.
Yeah. yeah. But in terms of strength, S&C, athleticism, ability to sustain it for 70 odd minutes, the size of their panel, they have it. Everything bar that absolute killer, that Shane McGuigan, Conor Callaghan, David Clifford, right? And I think I would see Mayo having a big year.
Okay, interesting. I think the most interesting part about the Leinster Championship, Ciarán, is not whether Dublin are going to win another Leinster title by 15 points or more. Like, to be fair, I think to Dublin, they are that far ahead of the pack that's just what we've come to expect. It's really what's happening behind them. And so... is it a Westmeath? Is it a Louth? Is it a Kildare? Where are you seeing the power rankings behind Dublin right now? I think particularly given what Westmeath did at the weekend, the bounce that they're going to have, the side of the draw that they're on. And I think even you guys alluded to it on TV last weekend, just the nature of the league, that they're still not guaranteed Sam Maguire football, knowing that they still have to have a run at the Leinster Championship, just skews things for those teams, for the Louths, for the Westmeaths, for Kildare, who've had an awful year. There's an awful lot still riding on the Leinster Championship.
There is, and while we'd be critical of the format and who gets in, at least to keep some sort of level of interest, because you have Kildare fighting for status. Now, whether it will be a good thing for Kildare to go into the Sam Maguire's question, but right, being honest, the way they seem to be going, and then your Westmeath not guaranteeing their spot. So that's where kind of all the interest is. Like Westmeath, I think... they've the best defensive record in the league this year. And I think even saying on Sunday night, but they're not putting up big scores themselves. So they're very structured in their approach. They've made themselves very, very difficult to beat. And, you know, you would expect, personally, I think it's going to come down I was quite impressed with Loud in the league. The bits I saw them, I thought Jer Brennan has Loud moving very, very well. They have a couple of really good quality forwards. And they're well organized in terms of they can play, they have a variety to their play in terms of their defensive setup and pressing high up the field. And I think they're working really, really hard. So I personally would have it between Westmeath and Louth. I think, you know, if Kildare come out and do the same as they done in the league against Louth, Louth will beat them. I think I'd give Westmeath a narrow edge, because I think they want to be like Loud are already in the Sam Maguire. They have their position, so maybe they'll have one eye on that rather than going into another Leinster final against Dublin, you know, like last year maybe, and suffering a tough day at the office. So they might just focus in on the group system. Westmeath have that need to secure their position, and they want to play in Sam. They feel they're big enough. That they're big enough and strong enough. And if Desi Dolan gets, you know, the likes of Heslin, Wallace, Maguire back, if he gets a few of those key players back, I think Westmeath are the ones that have the ambition to get to a Leinster final.
That's the two-sided coin there, Rory, isn't it? It's the want to get to a Leinster final, but also the fear factor of what Dublin might hold on the other side of it. You know?
It is. It's a real, what do they call it? Is that a curate egg?
Well, it's psychologically battering for teams. Like, that's
it is.
It can absolutely take the wind out of your whole season. Like, you can talk the nice stuff and say, yeah, we want to get into Cup Park and we want to play Dubs and we want to be compete, but you can throw out all those nice things.
We want to measure ourselves against the best.
But it's psychologically, it's not a pleasant place to be. That's the facts with it. It can destroy teams.
And it was a 21 points. Was it 21 points, I think, last year between Dublin Louth and the end for a finish? And that's like the danger that it just becomes such a morale sapping, like absolute, annihilation. That sort of defeat just, as Wheeler said, takes the win completely out of your season. You know, when you come back into training on a Tuesday night, you know, let's pick it up now for the qualifiers or whatever competition you might be in. Now, I suppose if you make a provincial final, you head for Sam Maguire. I think from Westminster's perspective, they've had a very good season so far. Difficulty for them, I suppose, is they're still not entirely sure if they're there. They should be in, but they're still not entirely sure. I mean, if you talk about anomalies, for instance, in terms of the provincial championships and everything that's kind of wrong with it, you have a situation where Tipperary play Waterford in the Munster Football Championship. These are two of the three teams that finished bottom of Division 4, right? And whoever wins that game will be 70 minutes away from Sam Maguire. Think about that. You know,
which is crazy.
So I suppose, but to go back to Westmeath's situation, I think, look, he did unbelievable progress so far. I'm not entirely sure what they would gain from going back into the Tailteann Cup. They won it 2 years ago. I think they proved last year that they're well able to compete with the Ulster teams, Wheelo. They're well able to compete in general. So I'd give them, I'd certainly make them, I'd rank them number two in Leinster, potentially with the team best equipped to give Dublin a game.
Okay, interesting. All right, well, look, let's round off on Munster then and broaden this out to the All-Ireland, because let's just say, if you expect that Kerry are going to win another Munster championship, Ciarán, which is, I think, largely what people expect is going to happen in Munster, what sort of position do you think Kerry will find themselves in over the next couple of weeks? Are they improved from where they were last year? Have you seen enough signs that they're going the right direction? And do you rate them still as one of your top two or three in the country to win an All-Ireland in 2024?
Yeah, I think before I get into Kerry, I think it's, Jackie, like the annual, for as long as I'm working on the Sunday game and Rory talks about stats and Ulster and stuff like that, every year for the last 13, 14 years, Rory has talked up Cork's chances of beating Kerry. So I think it would be...
It'd be remiss of us not to let him do it.
Not to let him do that, because it's a kind of an annual preach which falls flat on its face most years.
Yeah, most,
but I admire his optimism. But anyway, getting back to Kerry, I still go back... Kerry are definitely up there in the conversation with Derry and Dublin. There's no doubt about it. And
they're the only two teams. People forget, Wheelo. They won five out of their seven league games. They're only beaten by Derry by a point at home. And obviously, they had a bad night.
Bad day against Dublin.
Dublin.
They would have been happy. But that bad day in the office was still sticking.
Yeah.
I think they will be they have to learn a lot from that. I'm still a little bit suspect about them defensively. If Jason Foley's out, who slots in there? I think they've been caught a little bit in terms of how they want to play the game, because I think, particularly in that game when they pushed up and kind of really went man for man, they left themselves badly exposed at the back and they got fairly torn to shreds. There's the Clifford factor. I think Paddy and David are so crucial to their level of performance and that level of consistency. I think that's what brings them into that. I'd be genuine. I think that's what brings them into that top three. I think without the two lads, they'd be in the next layer. I firmly believe that. So I think they have potential weaknesses. I think You know, defensively, I know midfield, Joe Connor, you know, has got games into his legs now, and he finished the league quite strongly. And I think that's a big positive, because that was an area where they really struggled to compete against Dublin. And they even, to a certain degree, even going back to that league game, they were nearly so obsessed with the influence Brian Fenton was going to have in the game that they didn't impose themselves on the game. So I think they'll take a hell of a lot of learnings from that game. And for me, it's about that kind of defensive structure, because I don't think they've the strongest defense man to man, and they have to have that bit of cover at the back to keep them extremely competitive. So they've to find a few more percent for me in order if they're gonna get over the line.
I have to win Munster first, Rory. So give us your 30-second hot take on what Cork are going to do.
Yeah, I think it'll be very difficult for Cork. Just Kerry are playing, like, genuinely, Kerry are playing at a higher level, and they've been playing at a higher level for a good few years. I think, look, in fairness, last year in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, bar a very odd decision by David Goff to give a penalty against Sean Potter, you know, lost by two in the first qualifier game. I think Cork have poured everything into, again, this year, to go to try and improve the Sam Maguire placings and go after championship. That to win something, obviously, would require going down to Killarney and doing something Cork haven't done since 1995. So I don't really see that happening this time around. But they could still have a good year yet from a Cork perspective. They are definitely improving. We saw an incremental improvement towards the latter end of the league, and I thought that was no coincidence with the arrival back onto the scene of Conor Corbett and one or two more.
Totally.
And I think they will cause teams problems without act. You know, they'll do a lot of huffing and puffing, probably won't blow anybody's house down. I think from Kerry's perspective, they're still, for me, ranked number two, and they will win Munster. And I'd be very surprised not to see them back in an All-Ireland final.
Okay, well, give me your who is going to win the All-Ireland then? If Kerry are your number two, Rory, who's your number one? Who's going to be your All-Ireland champions?
I think Dublin will win it. I like, if Dublin don't win this All-Ireland, considering all the emotion that was attached to last year's one, I don't necessarily think the Chase and Pack have improved all that much in the interim period. And I think Dublin have gotten a little bit stronger. They've put certainly more depth into it. I think they're playing arguably a better brand of football than they have for a while. They don't lose finals. They didn't lose last Sunday. People tend to forget. Like, there's this narrative going around that all of a sudden, oh, it's great. Like, they didn't actually lose the game. And Derry, for all their huffing and puffing, couldn't put them away. I think they're still the team to beat. And do I see anybody doing that this year? No.
Ooh. All right, Ciarán, last word to you. All-Ireland champions for 2024.
I agree, Rory. I'm going with Dublin. I think last Sunday will be, again, of huge benefit to them. They will take something from it that they didn't lose the game, albeit they lost on penalties. But I think Desi's challenge over the next few weeks is really nailing down his strongest team. He's a lot of guys coming back. He's a lot of guys coming back with a lot of miles in the legs. Whether they can get, they've had a fair significant break now. The likes of Fitzsimons, McCarthy's, you know, Cluxton's. So Desi has to get that blend right. And I think he's found a couple of players in the league and married with a bit of experience and a bit of depth coming off the bench, that they will get another one.
All right, interesting. Two shouts for the Dubs. Plenty of time for us to look over that.
Who'd you fancy? Who'd you fancy?
I'm
Jackie?
Going for Dublin as well. Yeah, I just think they've gone to another level again. Yeah. And as much as I think Derry have improved, I just can't see them catching them. But I'd love to be wrong, because I think what Mickey's doing with this team has been brilliant to watch, and would love to see them have a crack at it. But I still think Dublin are too strong. So who knows? A lot of months of football ahead to look forward to. We'll leave it there for the moment. Thanks a million, Ciarán.
Oh, holy Moses!
All right, we're going to chat hurling now. Neil McManus is with myself and Rory to look ahead to a hurling league final between Clare and Kilkenny. How are you keeping, Neil?
Great. A few days off for the Easter break, so I'm really looking forward to this weekend now. Probably the two best teams in the league so far on the whole. So I think they're deserving finalists, and I think they'll go at it hammer and tong. So really looking forward. forward to it, I must say, Jackie.
I think for hurling fans to even be able to talking about two teams that are not Limerick as the two best teams in the league, is it's a novelty in itself. And I think maybe there's a, I don't know, a renewed optimism from a lot of people that one new name is going to get on that trophy for these years, for this year. And I think that might just, you know, kickstart what might be a really, really great year of hurling ahead.
Yeah, I think if we've learned anything from the football final, we've seen now that Derry are being widely recognised as real contenders. They've got their hands on some silverware. They've beaten the All-Ireland champions. And I think this will be a huge boost for whoever comes through it and gets that bit of silverware. They'll be going back into that changing room, you know, with a national title saying, why could this not be us, you know, at the very beginning of July? Championship is just around the corner. So, you know, they're really in championship mode. And this is a great opportunity for somebody to really build some momentum.
The key is for both of these teams, Rory, as well. Not a lot of them have league medals. You know, you look at this Clare team, they haven't won any significant silverware under Brian Lowen. I was listening to Walter Walsh talking during the week, saying a lot of the lads in their panel weren't there in 2021 when they won the last league. So why wouldn't they want to have a National League medal in their pocket?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Neil is also spot on. I think this will be largely close enough to championship conditioning than you're going to get. It's 2 weeks out for Clare, which I think, I know some people are saying it's not a significant amount of time and you're potentially going to, you know, lay a few cards on the table. I'm sure there's going to be very interested inter-county managers in attendance on Saturday night watching from both provinces and both conferences, as we kind of have in hurling, really, as opposed to provinces. And I think, look, from Clare's perspective, Shane McGrath wrote a very interesting piece, I think, on the RT website this week in relation to Clare's need being slightly greater. And I would 100% concur there. The national silverware not to be sniffed at. It's a beautiful medal. I actually saw a National League medal a couple of weeks ago. I met a guy and he had one. And
was he carrying it around with him? Was he?
Well, it was in his house, but he showed it to me, and it's an absolutely beautiful medal in and of itself. And you know, look, I think it's in Thurles. It's the first time that pitch has been open for a few weeks. You'd be hoping for a really big crowd. Kilkenny, you know, I've been getting a bit of criticism of late for travelling support. There's a bit of a wind back in behind Kilkenny hurling again, given the success at underage level. They're under 20s at a really comprehensive victory over Wexford the other night. Obviously, Kieran's going winning underage under the schools competition once again. So I think there's a lot of good positivity in Kilkenny hurling. They have tried an awful lot of players through the course of the league. They've gotten a really good wind in behind them, given the fact that the Ballyhale lads haven't had to go as deep into club championships. So TJ and the lads have gotten a better rest. Interesting to see whether or not Mikey Carey and Mikey Butler will be fit. We'll find obviously out that when the teams are announced. But I think, look, it's got all the makings. But how the weather, by the way, I've seen the weather forecast is atrocious, which is terrible. But look, this is what you're going to get, April showers and all of that. But it has all the makings of a really, really good physical, hard, tough contest with, I think, a good bit to play for.
Can I ask you about that question, Neil, that Shane McGrath posed that Rory referenced there? Is the need greater for Clare than it is for Kilkenny?
I think it is, Jackie. I think Shane was on the money. Clare haven't really won anything of note now in a considerable period of time.
2013.
That'll Ireland win. And like those players are some of the most talented players of the last decade. You know, you think of your Shane O'Donnells, your John Collins, your Tony Kellys, and these guys are electric, and they've been on the brink on so many occasions. We think of the semi-finals that they've just lost out in, and I would think they are very, very conscious of that. They'll want to win a piece of silverware. They'll want to take down one of the big dogs. Look, Kilkenny have beat them in the last two semi-finals. So they are going to really want to hammer home that little bit of a mental block that was there with them. You know, they got past them in the league in the round, I think it was the fifth round. So they'll want to really go and do that again to leave themselves in a strong position. And I think Brian Lohan will be pushing them to say, lads, stand up here. Let's show that we have been the team of the league, which I think we have, in fairness. I think Clare have been the best performers of the league, and their big players have stood up whenever they've needed them, and no more so in that game against Kilkenny, which went right down to the wire. That Peter Duggan score after Jermot caught that puck out was just something else. It was like a team who were not going to exit via the back door. And I believe that this Clare team have improved. I think the panel has improved. And I think that needed to happen because whenever they had a couple of injuries at the back last year, they weren't able to replace like for like, which is different than what Kilkenny have. Because, you know, Rory's just mentioned, you know, Mikey Butler not there, young hurler of the year. He is an all-star. And you think that leaves a gap. And then Shane Murphy just rolls in and plays exactly the same role within the team. He carries the ball forward. He's like a leech on any corner forward that comes into his area. And he's a bigger and stronger guy. So, you know, Mikey might have a bit of baller on his hands getting that number two jersey back. But Mikey Carey will be a miss. I think that Derek has sees him as a key component, either at 6 or 8. I think he's going to be somebody that Kilkenny are using as a pivotal or as a pivotal part of that team. And he's a miss when he's not there, and that's the truth. But I think the need is greater for Clare, and I fancy them to do it actually in Munster. You know, it's almost a home game for them.
Almost, yeah. Can I ask you about what you just touched on there about Kilkenny's spine of the team? Because I do think that's the one question that maybe hangs over Derek that he hasn't answered yet. Like, 6, 8, 3, like, is he any closer to knowing what his championship team is based on what he's tried out in the league because of some of those key pivotal positions? Is it going to be Richie Reid? What does he even do there? Because if he doesn't answer those questions, you do feel that Kilkenny are going to come up short again in 2024.
Yeah, I think he has learned through the league. He tried Richie against Clare in the opening half, and you know, there was too much space left in front of Richie. Richie has a key role to play. If there's a seventh defender being played, there's nobody better. Richie Reid's use of the ball is phenomenal. He played that role like nobody's business for Ballyheal for the past 6 or 7 years, and he was really good at it as well for Kilkenny at times last season. But if it's going to be 6-on-6 up there, it needs to be somebody a little bit more dynamic, and Mikey Carey has that in spades. He actually replaced Richie at 6 that day, and he kind of gives Kilkenny a foothold. 3 will be Hugh Lawler all day long. I believe he is the best number 3 in the game. I think he's won the last 2 All-Stars at fullback, deservedly so. So it will be down to the system that's put in place. If there's a 7th defender, Richie will be sitting in the pocket. But I think he wants Matty Carey marking because he knows that if it is Limerick or like David Reedy was phenomenal for Clare in that first half as well, and Mikey got to grips with him whenever he came in. So if it's a Morgan job, it will be Mikey Carey. If there's a 7th defender in play, I think it'll be Richie Reid. I know it's all down to systems now, and you know that takes a little bit of the blood and thunder out of it, but Derek's such a smart operator, and he'll be trying to analyse how are Clare going to set up. You know, we've seen how Peter Duggan drops back now into that almost Gerard Hegarty role, and then he can score from distance, but then he pushes up to win puck outs. I think you'll see Blanchfield picking up Peter Duggan. I think the matchups are going to be really interesting here on Sunday. Just looking forward to it so much.
Yeah. Me too, Rory. I think, to be honest, this has the potential to kick off this championship season. I know it's only a league final, Rory, but I do think if this ignites in the way that people think it will, I think you're going to see blood and thunder between these two teams, who I'm pretty sure are going to meet again later in the year, because there's no doubt about it. These two teams are fighting it out for that number 2 spot right now behind Limerick.
Yeah, they're both, you know, if you're looking at it in boxing parlance and title eliminators for the number 2 contender, this is effectively it, given going into the championship. Now, I know Kilkenny will probably say, look, both occasions we met in the last 2 years when we met semi-final stage, you know, we were the ones that came out on top. Obviously, Clare pushed Kilkenny a lot closer 12 months ago or in last year's championship in comparison to the one the year before where they fell very flat. And obviously, John Conlon being a non-runner on that occasion hampered their ambitions somewhat. But I think they will both go for it. I think it will be a proper contest. I think Niamh makes some really interesting points around the decision that Derek Ling is trying to, and the build that he's trying to make in terms of his half back line and midfield. The two that he played the last day, Jordan Malloy and Keane Kenny, I think, because he's tried a different midfield. A lot of people are making out that he's got an issue at six. I'm not so sure. I think Paddy Deegan is a brilliant centre back. So I don't know if the problem is at six, as opposed to like the tone that's set by your two midfielders. If you kind of take Limerick as the working template and William O'Donoghue and Dara Donovan, like what they do in terms of establishing, in terms of reference around the battle, the engagement, hooking and blocking, winning dirty ball, making that a war zone, you know, they absolutely stand as two totem poles in the middle of the field. And I thought the last day, to be fair to Jordan Malloy, and I had not heard much about Jordan Malloy, I have to be honest. I didn't really hear a whole pile about him, and I thought he was outstanding. And I thought he paired quite well with Keane Kenny. So I'd be very interested to see, does he go with that midfield again this time round? And how they get on versus Clare. Again, who picks up David Fitzgerald? Probably Blanchfield. And that will be another very, very interesting battle. I think overall, though, I think it should be a top-class contest. And hard enough one to call. But I'm going to give Clare a hesitant nod. I went for them in both semi-finals, and it's a bit like backing Rory McIlroy for the Masters. You're bound to be
at some point it's going to come through.
You're bound to be right at some stage.
Yeah absolutely. Look, Neil, we'll finish off with you then on it, because I do think at some point the need does become so great that they are going to have to get across the line, this Clare team.
Yeah, they're a long time knocking on the door now, looking for national silverware. They have a group of unbelievable players. All right, they're still going to be missing a couple of those household names this weekend, but they'll throw everything at it. They'll bring war. I think this will be massive for them if they can get over the line. It may just give them that slight air of confidence that maybe has been missing at times. Because I know, talking to some of them, they're fairly confident in saying we believe we're the best team in the country, but you have to go and do it. And this might be a step in the right direction for them come Sunday. But I think Rory's point's really, really interesting. I can't wait to see how Kilkenny set up at six. I think they might push Paddy Deegan into midfield and let him match up there, because he gives them so much going forward too. So let's see.
Bring it on. Bring it on. Can't wait to see it. Neil, thanks so much for being with us. We're going to have to leave it there. And don't forget to like and follow wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's Spotify, Apple iTunes, or wherever you find them. You can watch us on YouTube as well. We'll be back on Monday to look back on weekend one of the Football Championship and hopefully a cracking hurling final as well at the weekend. Lads, thanks a million.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
What I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it! He hits it! It's over the bar!